UPS is hiring warehouse workers, package handlers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying up to $21 an hour and offer great benefits, including 100% paid tuition, plus housing for some with our Metro College or Loop programs. Shift your team, shift your future, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference. UPSjobs.com.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Look, this is my point earlier this week. People that called for these 2-3 year players got what they wanted the last 4 years, and outside of two Elite Eights, didn't do too much. Okay? They were all right.
And James Strebel.
What's wrong with two Elite Eights?
Well, yeah, that's kind of the whole point.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Oh, man, hearing Mike Pratt give me the business, nothing in the world can make me happier right now. That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
A little heartwarming rejoin there.
That's yeah, nice. I love that. Good job, Avery. Thank you for that. All right, Inside Churchill Downs is up after us here on The Take. We're with you till 6, but 6 to 7 p.m. here on ESPN 680, 105.7, you'll have Inside Churchill Downs. College World Series preliminary round, Texas versus Notre Dame. That's at 6:40 on 93.9 The Ville. And then to wrap up our programming tonight, you have Brewers at Reds, 7 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. So that's what's coming up. I don't have to read the NBA Finals promo because the Warriors wrapped that up last night, Ethan. Any quick takes on the NBA Finals before we get to this mystery player that we're about to discuss here?
Not other than the fact that whatever my wagers were on that series, it lost. So,
for example,
last night I just bet the over, didn't cash, wasn't even close to cashing. Then I think the game one or two, whatever, I bet the Celtics and they didn't come through. So, you know, the Warriors have a dynasty going. Happy for Steph Curry.
All right, there we go.
That's the extent of it. And Damian Lee, of course.
Oh, Damian Lee gets a ring. Right. There you go. Yeah. When Andrew Wiggins turns out to not be a bust.
Yeah.
I
haven't heard enough credit given for Damian Lee. He basically single-handedly led the Warriors to the final.
He did. Time. It was like Jordan Wara last year with the Bucks.
Exactly.
There we go. All right. Good stuff there. All right, Ethan, you and I were texting back and forth. I have been in the DMs of one Ty Spalding. He's at a function. I'll just say that. But I got a little bit of information here. But before we went on, Joe Tipton of On3, he tweeted out that on Monday, a basketball recruit will be visiting Louisville. His name is Fabio Basile. He plays basketball for Oak Ridge in Orlando, Florida. He is former teammates of Mike James, current Louisville basketball player. Go ahead and say it, Ethan.
Mike James, who?
There we go. Mike James. So there we go. He's a former teammate.
I didn't know if you knew the joke, so I wasn't say who.
Oh, Andy and I do that joke as well. Okay. So yeah. Oh, right. we are well versed in Mike James. So he is visiting on Monday, and I'm looking at On3 right now. His list of schools include Louisville, Florida Atlantic, Chattanooga, DePaul, and Kansas State, with a prediction 91.5% to Louisville. So there you go. Now, there's a little twist on this, Ethan. What else can you provide us with here?
Well, according to 247 Sports, he also had offers from SMU and TCU.
Okay.
So if you're wanting to look at, you know, other programs there, again, that's not the heavy hitters of college basketball at all. It's not, you know, it's I'm not going to sit here and say that if this kid commits that, you know, you're going to have to, you know, throw a party in the streets.
Like it's going
to
change the trajectory of Louisville basketball in the short term.
So here's a couple of other interesting factors. You also, you did mention this, he's out of Orlando at Oak Ridge High School, the same high school of one Mike James. So the interesting twist in this is that at one point he was listed in the class of 22. Currently he's listed in the class of 23. However, there is significant buzz that Fabio would be a take for this class.
Say what?
Yes. So he's visiting on Monday, but there is some buzz that he would be a take and would reclassify to the class of 22. And again, some recruiting services had listed him originally for the class of 22. 247 lists him as the class of 23, as does On3. Rivals, I couldn't find even a recruiting profile for him. If you're on Twitter, you've seen a variety of highlight reels from him. Looks like a solid player. Also, another little interesting caveat to this. Some have said that he's grown another 3 inches, so he's basically 6'5".
That's what Ty Spalding did DM me. Says good length at 6'5". Also says... was told he would be for this year, and that it's between Kansas State and Louisville. So the fact that Louisville is getting this initial visit on Monday bodes well for their chances, I think. It's and then Mike James also. Did you see Mike James's tweet?
I have not.
Okay, so let me get the wording correctly. I mean, it's not like, you know. So Mike, I do follow Mike James on Twitter, Ethan. I don't know if you know that or not, but I do follow Louisville players.
Oh, look at you.
Yes. So let me find it. It was something to the effect of, you know, my brother's coming home. So that mean read the writing on the wall. It seems like you were saying.
I saw that. You're right.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so. You would think that Louisville would lead in this, you know, brief recruitment. But listen, this is something that a lot of Louisville fans were talking about. You have to have more than one person that can handle the ball on a roster.
Right.
And I know Mike James can play the two some. Kamari Lands, who has reportedly been very impressive in offseason workouts, can play the two as well. But you can't count on those kids to be ball handlers and be distributors and facilitators of the offense.
No, I don't.
You simply can't.
I don't know if you heard earlier this week, but I had a number of people on. Jeff Greer, I had Travis Branham,
Travis Graff,
and they all kind of talked about what you're talking about now with Kamari Lands and Devin Ree. Basically, if you have to transition them to a two guard, that's not good. That's something that you would want to do. If Louisville has to do that, then they might be in a little bit of trouble. I think Kamari Lands would do a better job in that spot than maybe a Devin Ree. I mean, I think Mike James at this point is your two. I don't think there's any argument there. I mean, I think he's expected to start, even though he is coming off an Achilles injury. There were high expectations before he went down during the preseason. So there's that. And also, this also leaves credence to the rumors of a mystery guard popping up. So the thought process, the timeline behind this, Ethan, as I'm sure you know, Louisville is supposed to be wrapped up by this weekend as far as their roster. It was supposed to be Imani Bates and then this mystery guard. Imani Bates doesn't seem like it's happening at all, but this would give credence to that mystery guard rumor. So knowing what we know now, and that it looks like you're going to get one more guy, Fabio Basile, what does that do for you next year in the guard situation at Louisville?
I mean, it's a warm body for depth. I mean, again, I think, you know, when you see what he's listed as right now, and he's probably a little bit bigger, but 155.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're 6'5", and let's just say if you're 6'5", you know, 165, I mean, you're going to have to add size. You're going to have to add bulk and muscle to compete day in and day out in the ACC. I don't think that's what you can expect Basile to do for you. Right off the bat, is he going to play major minutes if he goes to Louisville? No. Is he going to play a lot? I mean, who knows? But that's something. I mean, I'm looking at it like this. I'm not going to try to hype up a kid who's not doesn't have a rating on the scouting profile.
Right. That's very difficult to do. That would be what the that would be safe for the most fanboy of fanboys to yeah. try to get you to convince that Cade Cunningham's getting ready to commit, right?
I mean, maybe he's a three-star prospect. Maybe he's in the high 100s. But the fact that he's not rated on, either 247 on three arrivals,
right?
I mean, just shows that he was not a high, power five type of prospect. But
maybe that's one of the reasons why he got that he was basically advised to go back to 2023, maybe work on his skill, maybe work a little more, then come back in 2023 and see where you rank.
Exactly. But I'm not going to poo-poo this at all. You need guards, and maybe he can blossom into a solid player for you in a year or two. I mean, maybe that's...
Oh, yeah. It's definitely as much for the future as it is for the immediate present.
Exactly. It's certainly not going to scare off DJ Wagner or whoever a top target for a guard is. EJ Johnson, it's not going to scare those kids off. But you need depth. You need people in the backcourt, and maybe he can blossom into a really good player down the stretch. But I for the short term, you need bodies. He's certainly going to be this is going to be a scholarship kid. There is a walk-on by the name of Hersey Miller, has not been officially announced yet.
Okay.
It's not going to be like super secret breaking news or anything. His name has been mentioned on the message boards for the last couple of days. He's Master P's son.
Master P's son is. I didn't know that. No Limit Soldier. I thought I told you. That's our wheelhouse, Ethan.
No Limit didn't. Shibble, do you remember? They came out with a new CD like every week.
Yeah, dude. One of my good friends, his name was Mike. His name is Mike. I won't say his last name, but he literally bought it every week. You did too? He had, what was the No Limit kid rap group's name? Do you remember them?
There was C-Murder, Juvenile.
Mia X.
Oh, yeah, Mia X.
Juvenile was Cash Money.
Ooh, that's right.
Yeah, Juvenile, you had Master P, you had C Murder, you had Mia X, you had Moby Dick, you had...
Are you serious?
Yeah, that was his rap name.
I must have missed that album.
I'm missing a bunch of them.
I was getting ready to say Birdman, but
he was Cash Money too.
Cash Money too.
Oh, yeah. Who was the guy that rapped really? Oh, Mystical. Mystical was Death Row. Not Death Row. I'm sorry. No Limit. Mystical was No Limit. You know, Snoop Dogg was No Limit for a little while.
Yeah, then he got out of there after they kept coming out, and they had the plastic, like even their CDs were different. They had like the plastic covering and the plastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell you what, it was. True was another No Limit.
Yep, True was No Limit. Dude, in playing high school football on Dixie Highway, any time that you walked into our field house where we had our workouts going on or whatever, you best believe there was a No Limit CD playing somewhere. it was great workout music.
How could you not with all the CDs that came out left and right?
Oh, here's a good one. Silk the Shocker. Yes. How do we forget Silk the Shocker? That is a great one. Yes, Silk the Shocker. Man, No Limit got to a point where it was like when they first like kind of burst onto the scene with Master P and Ice Cream Man and all that, it was almost it was almost like it was bootleg. Like, nobody knew about it. When you had a Master P CD, it was like, oh, man, he got Master P. Let's put this on right now. And then they got too big. They got too big.
They filed for bankruptcy.
Exactly. Exactly. Then they ended up filing for bankruptcy. But, man, there was a period of time where it was, Death Row had already gone by the wayside with everything that happened with Tupac. And then Bad Boy was, suffering because everything that happened with Biggie. And then, obviously, with Death Row as well, you had... Oh gosh, who ran Death Row Records? Oh my goodness, why his name
Suge
is
Suge Knight?
Suge Knight with all his nonsense and you know in and out of jail and hanging Vanilla Ice off the side of a building and all that stuff, all that. So they were all by the wayside. So there for a while in the mid '90s up to the 2000s, it really was No Limit versus Cash Money. I mean, those were the two. I mean, Cash Money had, like you said, Juvenile, Birdman, Lil Wayne, Cash Money Millionaires. I mean, that was the rivalry. It was Cash Money versus No Limit, but it never got to the point where Bad Boy versus Death Row did.
Yeah, you're right. And then, I mean, I think all of those kind of record companies kind of spilled together. I think they were easily confused because, you know, especially No Limit, Death Row, they were hot about the same time.
Yeah.
And then Cash Money was on the scene as well. But yes, I mean, maybe the warm up music's going to be, you know, some No Limit Soldiers.
I still like that. And Jason, our good friend Jason Dennis, he texted in the name of the kid rap group was Lil Soldiers because, of course.
There you go.
Then they had the Rich Boys with a Z as well. Yeah, man, that was really the last time that I heavily was into to hip hop and rap. That was the last time I was heavily into hip hop and rap.
Well, you get props. You get props for remembering Mia X.
Oh yeah, Mama Mia. I mean, oh, definitely. Yeah, she was on that a bunch of their tracks. Absolutely. I mean, she was always a guest on Master P's albums. I got the last great Master P album was definitely The Last Don. It was a double disc. It was a little too much, but it was his last.
Like
great
there would
one.
Be one or two really good bangers on there, and the rest would be terrible.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's pretty much. I mean, make him say still is one of those songs that if it comes on, and this is, you know, I'm as goofball as anybody, like straightforward. Hello, I'm a middle school teacher. I mean, come on, I wear Hey Dudes. I mean, I'm not cool at all. But if I'm in the car, that pops up. Well,
Hey
I'm
Dudes are cool.
Hey, Hey Dudes are cool. I got some on right now. Damn it. Yeah, you're right. No Hey Dudes slander around here. But it make them say, oh, pop on the radio. Dun, 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 dun. And I turn that sucker up and I start rapping with it, and it's terrible and it's embarrassing, and my kids in the car are like, stop it, dad. Like, it's gotten so bad, Ethan, where like if I had the windows rolled down, I'm singing. My oldest, Kellen, is like, roll out the windows, everybody can hear you. I'm like, no one can hear me, stop. He's like, it's embarrassing. I'm like, they have no idea who I am.
Oh, yeah.
They have
my
no idea who you are.
Like that. Yeah, my 10-year-old's like that too. You know what I just do?
What?
Even louder.
Sing louder. Exactly right. You gotta sing louder. I don't know how we got off on, oh, because there's Master P's son is a walk-on for U of L. So is he good? Like, is he good?
Well, he played, statistically, no.
Here's another good one, Cain and Abel.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude.
There's also Romeo.
There's like a new group every month. Yeah, Romeo. But
He was Master P's son.
Yes, and so there's another. He has another son who's in the 24 class, and I believe he's like a 4-star top 100 kid.
Oh, okay, Soulja Slim. Yes, keep on coming.
Remember
text line.
I remember
Soulja Slim.
Yes.
Well, I mean, Master P's like a mainstay in Louisville now. Like, he lives here, right? He moved because he was in New Orleans. I remember his house on MTV Cribs,
mm-hmm.
and he had an elevator in his house. And I thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah, and then did he have like a diamond and gold encrusted like mini tank too?
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Or was that just the medallion on the chains? I don't know. I just always remember that growing up. I was like, man, he's got how many diamonds? How much? I know. What's the carat wattage, if that's even a thing? Like, how much gold is on this? Are on these like? Medallions are on these mini tanks.
They're awesome.
All you saw.
I wanted one so bad. I so bad wanted a No Limit chain. It was awesome. I remember because I vividly remember when Snoop Dogg made his debut with No Limit, and he came out and he popped the chain, and I was like, oh yeah. And then he started like his album that he did with No Limit was terrible. I mean, it was terrible. Like, I don't remember one song on it, Ethan. It was awful.
Yeah.
Here's another one.
I mean,
yes, we did mention Mystical text line. Mac Fiend Skullduggery. Young Bleed.
I remember that. I do not remember Young Bleed.
I don't remember Young Bleed either.
It's like, did they just sign anyone that came up to him with a mixtape? Because that's why they went bankrupt. You kept signing all these acts, and you're like, you know, make some money first.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. I think that they were just signing everybody, like all their friends, anybody that, you know, was considered part of their, you know, a part of No Limit, or friends of No Limit, or part of their entourage or whatever. They were just getting like, you want a deal? Yeah, you get a deal? Yeah. And they almost got to where like, we're too big to fail. And then they failed. So which any of those do, man. I mean, stuff like that can only last for so long before it wears out and it wears thin. I mean, it's most of your, I mean, heck, look, I mean, most of your, our favorite bands, favorite rappers, whomever, you know, they reach a point in their career where it's like that whatever made them great, whatever drive that they had to be great, it wanes when you become rich and successful. Like I love Metallica. Like, they're one of my favorite bands. I've seen them 3 times. I'd love to go see them again. But, you know, when they released albums back in the day, when it was Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets and Justice for All or whatever, and like those are like seriously heavy albums, and then at some point, like, it's hard to sing about how sad and depressed and awful everything is when you're a millionaire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. It really is. It's like, you know, they're writing these super dark, heavy songs, and then they're in a mansion and they're like, you know, life isn't as bad as it was when I was 18 years old and, you know,
I don't have to sleep with one eye open anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Or exactly. Or you're living, you know, the street life, whatever it is, and they make it big, and it's just hard to recapture that drive that first got you into music whenever you want to do. So I know that's completely off the beaten path, but it was a fun discussion nevertheless, right?
Well, I tell you what, I do, and I might be mistaken, but I think C. Murder is in prison for murder.
He is, yes. And I believe that's Master P's brother, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it is. But yes, he is in prison. I think Mystical also got into some trouble as well down the line. I believe it was Mystical. Mystical was always great because he raps so fast, like so fast. Oh, yeah. It was bam. I mean, all right, let's go ahead and read some text real quick, and then we're going to end the segment with some Mike Pratt sound. Texter, the game is to be sold, not to be told. Very good. Yeah, album there.
Yes.
Underrated part of Make 'Em Say is the hearing test sounding beeps in the background.
Let's have that on the rejoin.
Can we do that, back. Avery, on the rejoin? Make 'Em Say the clean version. If you can, like, play,
it's got to be instrumental.
Yeah, it's got to be clean or instrumental. Yes, because if you can't, Avery, that's okay. Not a big deal. Throwing a lot at you today. She has the mixtape coming up at 5:30. Okay, yeah, Slim and Murder and C Murder are both Master P's brothers. Okay, so C Murder is Master. I thought I had that right. Okay, very good. All right, Avery, let's go ahead and play some Mike Pratt sound. This was The Process texted me today and said, hey, you got to play this Mike Pratt sound. It's one of the all-time greats. It's hilarious. He would love it. So here we go, a Mike Pratt today on ESPN 680 105.7.
She's the founder of Spanx, S-P-A-N-X.
Spanx.
Spanx. That's what your girlfriend does to you. Spanx.
You're damn right. Mark that.
Where did that come from?
Oh, Lordy.
Damn you.
Have you been drinking this morning? Oh, my goodness. Oh,
she's got a company. Oh, Lordy.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. Process, thank you so much for recommending that sound. That is perfect. That's wonderful, wonderful sound. Mike Pratt just roasting our guy Process, also known as Bobby. You knew that, right? That Dana Mike, their name for Process was Bobby. They called him Bobby, which is great.
Yes, I did. I did hear that. I've heard that in the past. And they had such a good relationship. And those three hit it off.
Oh, it was great.
Instantly. Great chemistry on air.
Yeah, because you had Mike and Dan, who are, you know, jovial elderly gentlemen that are, you know, icons of basketball in the state of Kentucky, and Dan Issel, you know, an icon in the NBA and the ABA. I mean, he was, you know, he's an icon on multiple platforms. And then you had those two guys, and then you had Process, who's young and brooding and, you know, listening to Radiohead and wearing dark sunglasses inside and wearing a hoodie at 99 degree temperatures. So the way that those three were able to have a radio show and play off each other so well is extraordinary, because when I heard that Process was taking over on Dana Mike, I was like, that, how is that gonna work? I mean, Process he's great. Like, I love Process. He's a friend, but at the same time, is like, I don't know if that's gonna work. They're not gonna get along.
And his snark, yeah, would his snark come off the wrong
right.
way? But I tell you, it was a great mix.
And his snark went right in with their snark. I mean, you just heard that sound of, I mean, they could give and take as much as Process could. I mean, that's a great thing about, you know, Dan and what he does, and what, you know, what Mike Pratt did was, hey man, they could dish it out.
I don't know if you've turned this before, but I think Issel has some missiles, man. I mean,
oh, the Issel missiles. Oh yeah,
dude, he would. I was like, nice.
He will flank, man. When Blankenbaker comes around the corner and Dan Issel's standing there, Blankenbaker knew he's in for it.
Oh yeah,
because Dan is full BBN, Ethan. I mean, he's full BBN assassin. Like he will go at you if he feels the need. But yeah, we have used the phrase many times before, the Issel missiles. So there you go. All right, Ethan, good segment there. On the other side of our break here, coming up in just a few more minutes, there's some new Shaedon Sharpe quotes that I don't know if you've seen them yet or Ethan. If not,
I've
don't
seen one of them.
Okay, I've got a couple of them. Don't read them all. So I'm going to read them on air. Ben Roberts from the Lexington Herald Leader, apparently he did an interview with Shaedon Sharpe as he is on the eve of being drafted in the top 10 of the NBA without ever having to play a minute in college basketball. And I've got more to that I just have to get off my chest. And I have a question for you as pertains to Shaedon Sharpe and something John Calipari, will he or will he not do when it comes to the NBA draft? So we'll talk about that. Read your text. We're still celebrating the life of Mike Pratt here on The Take. It's ESPN 680, 105.7.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Texas has Strebel's line again. No one's looking forward to the Clemson game and starting, and no one's stating an 8-win season.
Oh, come
that
on.
That Texter's wrong, man.
You had four players.
Texter's wrong.
And James Strebel.
Four players go on with Ethan Moore. Go listen to the podcast on the ESPN Louisville app. That's what I did today, and they all said the same thing. What game are you looking forward to the most? Every one of them said Clemson. So you're not paying attention. You're not listening. Quit trying to downplay your team's expectations and the rest of your fans. You're a loser. Quit being a loser and quit thinking something that's not correct, because go listen to the damn podcast. It's there.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You did it, Avery. Nicely done. Make them say, by Master P.
You can't help but nod your head to this. If you're in the car right now, I guarantee you're nodding your head.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, you're 100% right. This or just about anything early DMX. Absolutely. Louisville City FC is back in action tomorrow as the boys in purple host Orange County SC. Join Jeff Milby and Casey Whitfield at 7:45 for pregame with kickoff at 8 o'clock. And it's all on ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app. So today we've gone heavy with our good friend Mike Pratt celebrating his life. We had a good discussion on Louisville basketball, Kenny Payne, NIL expectations, and so forth. And then last segment we just updated you on Fabio Basile. He is a point guard, about 6'5", former teammate of Mike James. He is visiting...
Who?
Mike James, he is visiting Louisville on Monday. While he is listed as a 2023 class, he used to be in the 2022 class and may reclassify and play this season. So there you go. Louisville may get another guard, another body for their front or their backcourt. Sorry. All right. I kind of teased this before we went to break, but Draft's coming up, Ethan. The draft is coming up. And Shaedon Sharpe, who was a member, kind of the Kentucky men's basketball team, is projected as a top 10 draft pick. He went with the Lexington Herald leaders, Ben Roberts, for an interview. And there were a couple of quotes here that I want to read to you that after I read them, look, I'll be honest. I was really peeved when the entire Shaedon Sharpe stuff went down, as far as in the middle of the season, hey, he might play, and then, okay, no, he's not going to play, but 100% he'll be back next season. Don't worry, he'll be a part of the team. Sentiments also echoed, not just from John Calipari, but from Dwayne Washington, his handler, Shaedon Sharpe himself, the Sharpe family, et cetera, et cetera. They were telling everybody they could, don't worry, Shaedon will be back. He'll be a part of the team. He was the number one, recruit in the country, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So that started to get, shakier and shakier as the season ended, to where at the end of the season, Calipari was asked about Sharpe, and he said, I hope to get to coach the young man. And that was the next red flag. So the first red flag, I'm not playing this season. Second red flag, Cal saying, I hope to coach the young man. And then finally, as the draft, became nearer, as he worked out for NBA teams, he made it official that he was not going to return to Kentucky. He's going to stick in the NBA draft. Okay, so here's the quote from Mr. Sharpe, as told to us by Ben Roberts. So Ben Roberts tweets the following: Ask Shaedon Sharpe about the decision to not play for Kentucky. If there are any regrets, Sharpe responds, quote, like I said before, everything happens for a reason, so I really don't regret not playing. I'm working out for NBA teams now, so I guess I did something right. Ben Roberts' next tweet. Shaedon Sharpe on the decision not to play, whose call it was? Quote, I did talk to Cal about it, my coach, trainer, even my parents. But at the end of the day, it was my decision to not play. End quote. Obviously, Ethan, this is a Band-Aid that continues to be ripped off. Like, every time I think that I've ripped it off the last time, I've got to rip it off again. And these last quotes really is another example of just having to rip the Band-Aid off again. Because here's why, to me, and to many people that have responded on Twitter, why it bothers us. You had multiple guards on Kentucky's roster that were injured at the end of the season. Ty Washington had ankle injuries. Xavier Wheeler not only had concussion injuries, but he had a wrist injury that kept him out of multiple games. By the end of the season, Kellen Grady let us know that his plantar fasciitis was so bad that there were mornings where he had to crawl to the bathroom. And you could see that was evident by the way he was not making shots the way he was the month before. I mean, in the SEC, he was a above 40% three-point shooter. By the end of the season, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, Ethan. It was terrible. He couldn't hit anything. And as a shooter, your legs and your feet are a big part of that. So while his teammates were basically the walking wounded, he sat there fully healthy. It wasn't a coach's decision. It was a parental decision. It was his decision. That's his words. Those are his words. I'm not making, he said that. Again, I'll quote it. At the end of the day, it was my decision not to play. So as his teammates were injured and suffered, and he sat and watched them lose to Tennessee in the SEC tournament, struggle against Vanderbilt the previous game in the SEC tournament, lose to Tennessee, then lose to St. Peter's in the first round of the tournament, he's sitting there as a number one recruit, top 10 draft prospect, refusing to play. Now, I understand why John Calipari kept quiet about it, because it's a recruiting tool. And you don't want to do recruits bad and then have them tell all of their friends, who are also high-level recruits, hey, Cal did me dirty. But man, if I'm John Calipari and that kid's sitting at the end of my bench, I have to be seething that he has taken himself out of the equation. What are your thoughts on this, Ethan? I mean, I know you're a Louisville fan. I can imagine some of your thoughts, but be real with me here. If roles were reversed and it was you were the Kentucky fan and you read those quotes, you would feel how?
Oh, I'd be furious. I mean, I could see why Kentucky fans would get mad at that, because you mentioned the injuries and the backcourt, and it's like, dude, here it is. You have minutes available to you. You can, you know, you can write this narrative yourself, coming off the bench, saving the season.
Right.
You know, being such a high-profile player, you can make a bunch of plays, and then you could have, you know, a deep tournament run, and then you could still be a top-10 draft pick. But, you know, he elected to not play. And, you know, again, that's one of the things, though. If I'm Cal, why are you still taking those type of dudes? I get it. At first, you could have, like, well, he's a five-star. We got another lottery pick. So I guess UK is going to claim him as a Kentucky basketball
player. Well, that's my next question for you after you – yeah, because I want to expound on that.
Yes. So, but no, to answer your first question, if roles were reversed, I would not be very happy upon hearing those quotes.
Right. And even to be – I mean, we've read multiple, you know, anonymous NBA execs' quotes about Shaedon Sharpe on this show before, and it all boils down to this. Dude hasn't played organized basketball in, like, 2 years. Like, yeah. what are you afraid of? Like, I know you can dunk. I know you can dominate a one-on-one drill with a patsy is guarding you. Like, I get all that. You can do that. But he never practiced with Kentucky. We learned that he was doing, like, sideline drills. He never went 5-on-5 with Kentucky while he was there, Ethan. He refused to. Yeah, it is weird. He didn't do anything in the NBA combine. He didn't play at all. Like, he hasn't played. Like, no NBA exec has seen, other than YouTube, or early recruiting events when he was in high school, they've never seen him play 5-on-5 organized basketball. And it's stunning to me. It's like they're playing a trick on everybody, and it's working. Ethan is working. The NBA is so much different than the NFL or Major League Baseball, or even hockey at that point. The NBA is willing to draft kids high without ever seeing them play. It's all based on potential. Like, I get it. I really do. I'm not here to rail against the NBA and the way they do things. It's an ultra-successful league. I get that. But could you imagine a quarterback refusing to to play for Nick Saban?
No.
And saying,
no.
Nah, I'm good. And then refusing to do, like, team workouts and saying, nah, I'm good. I'm not. You don't need to see me to throw. You don't need to see me throw.
Why do you think Cal didn't do that then? If he would have set the narrative, like, listen, I want him to play. I need him to play. He is refusing to play. How would that look bad upon him if that's in fact what happened?
I am with you. I actually agree with you more than I don't agree with you. And the only answer, as it always comes back, is, and I talked to Perrin Johnson about this yesterday, is recruiting. If John Calipari can, like Shaedon Sharpe can say, look, Cal never did me wrong. He let me do my thing, and I'm grateful for it, and I thank Calipari. Other players like, oh, you know what? That dude's a player's coach. Like, I can ride with Cal. I can go, and I can ride with Cal because he's going to ride with me. He's not going to throw me under the bus. He's not going to do me dirty. But it's just stunning to me because he's had players in the past, Ethan, that, I mean, you look at Jared Vanderbilt, who just refused to play as well and played it off as an injury. Calipari actually spoke publicly about that. And, you know, there was Ryan Harrow, who refused to play. There were other players. He said, I'll never let a player come in and do that to my program the way I let him run my program this time. Khalil Whitney left in the middle of the season because he wasn't playing. I mean, that was one where Calipari basically said, look, you're not happy with your role in the team? Deuces. See ya. But he didn't treat Shaedon Sharpe like this. The entire situation is so bizarre. I've never seen anything like it before. I never have. But
you had the kid that was Bryce Hopkins. I mean, I called that the second he decommitted from Louisville and committed to UK.
You did, yeah. He was gonna, I gotta give you props,
He got bamboozled by Cal, and, you know, I guess he tells them that they're all going to play 25, 30 minutes a game, and then that's obviously not the case, because I remember not even a week after Hopkins committed, Damian Collins committed. And I'm like,
yeah, same position. Hopkins. And a five-star. top 15 player.
Exactly. I'm like, what are you doing? And I don't feel a bit sorry for him that he sat at the bench. If you had, you know, two eyes and some common sense, you would know that was what was going to happen with him.
But
that's happened far too often.
With those players, they all think that they're better than they are.
Yep.
But that's just what it comes down to. They all think they're better than they are. Like Khalil Whitney thought he was better than he was. And when he got to Kentucky and he started and Calipari couldn't hide him, he knew the right. He was like, I can't play at this level. But instead of like staying and working hard and, you know, trying to earn a spot on the team, he just left. But Shaden Sharpe didn't even do that. And the thing that bothers me the most is this, especially reading these quotes. Like, dude, if you would have been upfront and honest at the start of this, like, hey, look, there's a chance I might go to the NBA draft. Like, if I get the information, fans wouldn't have been happy. But they would have accepted it because at least you're being honest. Because I made this point to Perrin yesterday. Hamidou Diallo did the same thing. Hamidou Diallo came in the middle of the season. He reclassified, came in the middle of the season. He practiced. He sat. But he was honest up front. He said, hey, look, if I get a first-round guarantee, I'm going to the NBA. Like, I'm going to go. And we all understood that. We're like, okay, cool. Yeah, we get it. Go to the NBA. Make your money if you can. We won't begrudge you that at all. And we all waited until the deadline that night. And I waited, Ethan, to like 11:58 p.m. because like he actually forgot to like turn his papers in to Kentucky to come back. Like he almost forgot. Like he almost missed the deadline. But he ended up coming back to Kentucky. Mixed results, but he's turned into a nice NBA player. He's a nice player for the Pistons. But at the time, I'm like, that's cool. But if Shaden Sharpe would have done the Hamidou Diallo route and been up front, like honest up front, there would have been anger, but it wouldn't have been like this. And he continues to, as I said, rip the Band-Aid off, twist the knife, whatever you want to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, communication is key, man. At the end of the day, for whatever it is, in your place of employment, with friends, with your spouse, communication is key. And that is obviously one attribute he's going to have to learn because that wasn't happening between, you know, both he and his camp. And with the basketball staff, it sounds like.
Yeah. And I'm gonna ask you this question, ask Perrin. Now Cal may have gotten bailed out a little bit here because at first the green room list came out, and the only other player that Kentucky has in the NBA draft this year is Ty Washington. He's the only other one that declared. Everybody else either came back or transferred. At first he wasn't on the list for the green room, and Shaden Sharpe was. So my question was, will John Calipari go to the NBA draft? And if Shaden Sharpe is drafted, will he go and do the Cal thing and smooch the mom? And I'm with you. But now he's been bailed out a little bit because Ty Washington has now been invited to draft night. So Cal can go and be like primarily, hey, I'm here for Ty. And then if Shaden Sharpe does get drafted, and it'll be up there, it'll be Kentucky, University of Kentucky, even though he didn't play for a second, it'll be up there. Cal will now have the excuse like, hey, I didn't come just for Shaden, but since I'm here, I'll go over there. But I guarantee you he's doing it with gritted teeth. He's not doing it as like, as happily as he did it with Michael Kidd Gilchrist and Anthony Davis and Carl Anthony Towns and John Wall and all those guys. He'll be biting his tongue while he does give the hug.
He'll put the face on that he did when he acted like when Coach Pitino was here, like they were best friends. They would get together. The 2012 Final Four, they were all, hamming.
Oh, they were both doing it.
Yeah. So fake.
And you guys, you were like, we all knew it. We're all like, you guys hate each other. Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah. You think that we know the charade.
Right.
But I have two side stories about Calipari.
Oh.
And one is kind of funny, and then the other kind of makes me sad.
Okay.
If you'll allow me.
I'll indulge. Absolutely. Have at it, man. Absolutely.
So, loose affiliation. So, about 4 years ago, I think UK had these traveling basketball camps.
Yeah, satellite camps. Yeah.
Yeah. So, they had one at my school.
Oh.
And so, this was in the summer. Of course, I didn't go. I mean,
you should have gone.
Yeah, right.
Throw L's up with Cal.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what happened was, so they did like an autograph picture signing afterwards, and so one of my colleagues, who is a diehard Cats fan.
Good for her.
And I'm giving her props. Nobody will ever be able to troll me as hard as she did.
Oh.
She got an autographed picture of Cal to me saying to Ethan, the world's biggest Cats fan, John Calipari.
Dude, that's great. That's great.
And then No, it's even worse. So even worse was she made copies of this picture.
Yes.
And put it on my vehicle with a UK magnet, and I didn't know. And then she took a picture of that and then disseminated it around the staff as well. So not only do I have this autographed, personalized autographed, you know, picture of Calipari.
And the world's biggest Cats fan, Ethan Moore.
Oh, I mean, it's, oh my. I laughed about it, but I was like, I said, I'm not going to keep this. I'm not going to post this up, but I do admire your troll game.
That troll level is 10.
Oh, nobody's going to be able to beat it. No, nobody's going to be able
to. I don't know who this lady is, but hats off to you, madam. Hats off to you. That is some unprecedented trolling right there.
I'll tag you in a tweet. She's on Twitter, but not very active, but I'll tag you in a tweet with her here.
Please do.
In a little bit. And speaking of UK basketball camps, I think there's one going on right now.
Yes, there's another one next week. There's one next week as well. A friend of mine, he and his son are going. Yes, those are big money tickets, by the way. And like, if the Strebel father and son contingent could go, we would go. But those tickets are out of my price range.
Well, this is where this hurts my heart a little bit.
Okay.
My brother-in-law and my nephew attended this camp.
Oh, good for them.
Well, yeah. So my middle sister, we love him. Eric is a diehard Cats fan.
I need to meet Eric.
Yeah. we have many a debate when it comes to these two schools.
Well, sure.
Unfortunately, he has brainwashed my lovely nephew into cheering for them as well.
Oh, okay.
My sister's a Louisville fan. Of course, she doesn't get into it as much.
Right.
As we do, but she's a big Louisville fan. My youngest sister and her husband are both Louisville fans, so he is the outcast.
Yes.
But now he has now morphed into this and brainwashed my nephew. So this is where he just sends me a picture, and I don't even think he knows that I'm on with you today. And this is what we're literally talking about, these things.
Yes.
He sends me a picture. It is he, Cal, and my nephew. And my nephew is doing the L's down.
Oh, man. Right to the heart.
And I said,
that's
just texted him back.
That's your flesh and blood.
I just texted him back and I said, my heart hurts.
Yes. Yes, it would.
And then he sent me some other pictures. He took a picture. My nephew took a picture with Oscar. And he did the L's down in that picture, too.
Oh, he's the L's down kid. I have one of those. Oh. My 10-year-old's an L's down kid. Yeah. How old's your nephew?
I believe he is 8.
Okay, so my oldest is
10.
Still
rather young.
So we need to get them together. They need to hang out. They'd be L's down for days.
Oh,
You'll like this this story. Oh, go ahead, finish. I'm sorry.
No, I'm heartbroken.
So you'll like this story. It's about my oldest. So last Saturday, he had a baseball tournament up in Kokomo, Indiana, and Andy he was FaceTiming me. You know, he's starting his vacation, so I get a FaceTime from Andy. He never does that, so I'm like, "What is? I hope everything's okay." And so I answered the FaceTime, and he's, you know, with another buddy of ours, and he's like, "Oh, what are you doing, Strebel? We want to see the deck, because you know my deck is legendary. I go out there and drink a ton of beer and listen to old school rock music and tweet."
There you go.
and I was like, "No," I was like, "I'm at a baseball game." I was like, "Kellen's you know, playing right now," and at that moment, my oldest walked out of the dugout. And he's in his full, you know, baseball gear. He's got his helmet on and everything. And I was like, "Hey, Kellen, say hello to Andy." And so I pointed the phone at Kellen. He was like, "Oh, hey, Andy, Kentucky's going to win the national championship in basketball this year. I just wanted you to know that." And he just immediately, like without even a breath, just boom, goes right into like trying to debate sports. And I'm like, damn right. Like, I'm raising him the right way, Ethan. I know he doesn't cheer for the team that you cheer for, but I figured that you'd appreciate that he's always ready to go and let the takes fly.
That is it's exactly like my nephew, too, Carter. Oh, my gosh. He is ready to battle, ready for the L's down. And, you know, I'm going to have to start coming back with some heavy hitters now. I got
to
start now. If he wants the troll, then, you know, it's game on.
Young man's got to learn a lesson every once in a while. You know what I mean? A young man
well,
or young
I
got to
have my team. my team has to have my back during the smack talk so I can have something to, you know, to banter to and forth.
Now, will the rest of the family join in and, like, kind of, like, take sides on, like, with you, like your sister, for instance, his mother? Will she find
My sister does not like the L's down.
She doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, I can see her being a more, yes.
She's got to put up with the banter, but, like, you know, she does not like when her son does the L's down, and she shouldn't.
So does her husband, did he have to sleep on the couch?
No, pictures? But he's a troll by nature as well, and it's just filtering on down.
Right, right. Well, you know.
So I admire it, but it's the wrong team.
Now, do they have any other kids, or is he their only one? So he's it. So she has no allies in the house.
No.
She's by herself. Ooh, that's tough.
Well,
that's tough.
She can call me anytime. I'll come to the rescue if you have to do that.
Bring the whole Moore family. Bring your daughters. Yeah. Bring your wife. Y'all, y'all come. Now we outnumber you. How about that?
Yeah, so family functions are always outnumbered.
Oh, I'm
always.
Sure. But you know, that probably, though, for him, that probably helps him sharpen his troll game.
I'm sure.
I mean, you got, if you want to be tested, you got to go into the fire. You know what I'm saying? If you want to be forged the right way as a weapon, you've got to go into the fire. So he goes into the fire to sharpen his skills. I like that. I admire that about your brother-in-law. Eric's his name? Eric?
Yep.
Shout out, Eric. Shout out to you.
and you got to give Carter his props, too.
Carter, yep.
He's his protege.
Yes.
He's the apprentice. Although, again, let me stress, the wrong team.
Now, my house, I'm outnumbered in my house, but here's the difference. My wife and the twins, our twins, they don't talk much smack. They just, the twins are eight. They're just kind of like, yeah, whatever, go cards, and they'll throw it. Like my daughter, now I will say this, my little sweet little Ellie girl, she would every once in a while just give me a smile and throw an L's up in my face. She'd be like, L's up, Dad. Or like, I'll do L's down. She'll tell me, she'll go, do L's down. And so I'll give her an L's down, then she flipped my hand up and do it. And she'll go, yes. Now you're doing L's up, ha, 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 and laugh at me. So I get a little bit of that. So I'm anticipating, though, the older they get and the more into sports that they get, to have to battle a little bit. But my oldest son, Kellen, he's already molded into a troll. So I'm proud of my work there. Now, that's my wife's job. Like, honey, if you want to combat Kellen and I, you've got to step up to the plate, and you got to give the twins some material. But so far, she hasn't done it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, there's still time.
There's still time. There's still plenty of time. Absolutely. There's still plenty of time. Let's read some text here, Ethan. Good job today on the text line, 437-9680. Texter says, Cal doesn't promise playing time. Several players have said that. Yes, he doesn't. I guess what Cal does is he promises opportunities, because he does not say, like, hey, you're going to come and play X amount of minutes. That's actually how he's lost some players in the past. Texter says, modern version of the shortest sad story for sale, game-worn sharp jersey barely used.
Yeah, I'd say so.
That's pretty good. It still just rubs me the wrong way. Texter has sent a ticket Saturday, June 18th. Oh, man, where is this at? It's the Funk Fest. Is this in Louisville? Yeah, Louisville Funk Fest. So Saturday, this is Saturday, Ethan. Listen to this lineup. No Limit Reunion. Master P.
What?
Yes, Master P, Mystical, Silk the Shocker, Mia X.
Are you serious?
And Mr. Servon.
Yes.
That's this Saturday.
Unbelievable.
I didn't even know.
We were just talking about it. I didn't either. Where is it?
Waterfront Park.
We might have to make him say one time tomorrow night.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure tickets are available right now. It says buy tickets. Thank you, Texter. Anyone out there that was into Ethan, mine and Ethan's No Limit talk, and Jodeci's going to be there as well. So, yeah, Jodeci's the headliner. So there you
really?
Go. Yes, Jodeci's the headliner.
So they're going to get you all amped up. And then they're gonna relax you at the very end.
Yeah, so you're gonna get make them say and then at the end you're gonna get baby making music to put a nightcap on it. Texter says, talk about the Mike Pratt sound, Spanx. That might be the best sound ever played on the show. No doubt, it's definitely up there. Very good. Texter says, I'll take Wu-Tang Clan over Cash Money and No Limit. Agree.
Oh, yeah.
Agree.
All day,
absolutely.
Every day. 36 Chambers.
Yeah, can't oh, absolutely. Texter said, right in the heart of the No Limit discussion, How white is the show right now? Yes, it was very. We had a very Caucasian conversation, yes, about No Limit and Cash Money. Fantastic job. All right, texters, keep it coming. 437-9680. On the other end, we'll kind of recap the show. I want to ask Ethan some questions about football, and then we'll take you into the mixtape about 525, 530. We'll end your week with some funny sound. This is a take with Ethan Moore, James Strebel, Avery Dill here on ESPN 680, 105.7.
GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.